still fulfilling his purposes. Verse 10, Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent, and Pharaoh called these wise men and sorcerers, and they did the same thing. However, verse 12, they cast down their rods, they became serpents. Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. This tells us of the greater power that Christ has over Satan. So even though there was the imitation, yet God was greater. Verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get you unto Pharaoh in the morning, and he goes out by the water. You shall stand by the river's brink. Against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent, you shall take in your hand. And in verse 19, the Lord spoke unto Moses, take this rod, stretch it out over the hand of the waters of Egypt, upon these streams and rivers and ponds, and that they may become blood. They may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and stone and so on. And he did that, and the Egyptians magicians did exactly the same thing. Now, these Egyptians were crazy, and there's no other way to explain it. I say that without reservation, because the detriment that they brought upon themselves just trying to compete with Moses. Now, it's silly. Really, here they had all this misery of the blood already, and the fish dying and stinking and everything else, and just to prove their point, they went out and did the same thing. So in chapter 8, they do again. He says, if they refuse to let the people go in verse 2 of chapter 8, I'll smite all the borders with frogs. Verse 6, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. The frogs came up and covered the land. Verse 7, the magicians did the same thing. They had already frogs running all over them, and here these dumb magicians go up and do the same thing, get a few more out there. That's stupid. It really is. It's ignorant. Just to prove that they could do it, that they were as good as God. Well, verse 15, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart. He hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Verse 3, he stretched out his hand again, and he smote the dust of the earth. It became lice in the beast all through the land. Verse 18, the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. And so they met their Waterloo at this particular point. I imagine they were kind of glad they couldn't bring them in. So we find actually, verse 19, the magicians were at least smarter than Pharaoh. They said, this is the finger of God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hardened not on them as the Lord had said. So they said, now, listen, they got us beat. So this is the finger of God. Well, it proves, you see, unto them. And God will prove his existence, of course, by the judgments that happen in the end time during the Great Tribulation. He will prove to the nations just who he is and how great that he is. We see part of that now. I think of all of the wonders that are going on across the world today. Well, there's earthquakes in places there never were earthquakes before. There's tornadoes in places there never were before. And different things that are happening that are really terrible. Verse 20, the Lord said, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh when he comes forth by the water. Verse 21, he says, if you won't let my people go this time, I'm going to send flies on you. They did that. But in verse 22, he says, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. Now, this again is another place where we can see how that when Israel turns to the Lord, then God protects them. Now, to what extent that will be, I can't really say, because I'm not familiar enough with prophecy, and maybe there's not anyone that can really say. But we do know that in the book of Revelation, the woman in the wilderness is protected, you remember, speaking, of course, of Israel. We read concerning the man-child and so forth. But we know that God does sever his people in the land, in that day, in the land of Goshen. Verse 23, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And so such a wonderful sign that there should be flies on everybody in Egypt, and yet not one found in Goshen. Now, I have yet to hear the scientists try to explain this one. They've explained a whole lot, as I think, a whole lot of the miracles that happened in the Old Testament, such as the manna and a lot of darkness and things like this. But these differences that we find here, I haven't heard yet. Well, probably will. In verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and he said, "Go you, sacrifice to your God in the land." Now you will find in this that there are 10 judgments that come upon Egypt. The first one is in verse 19 of chapter 7. You just kind of put a little number by these. That's the water turned to blood. That's the first judgment that came on them. The second one is in chapter 8, 2, is the frogs. The third one is in verse 16, chapter 8, is lice. The fourth one is the flies in 8:21. And there were four compromises. And the first of them is in verse 25 right here. Pharaoh called for Moses and said, "Go sacrifice in the land." Now this tells us that he wanted them, says, "Now you go worship in the land." In other words, be religious, but cling to the world. Don't go 3 days all along with that resurrection stuff. Where that you find Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Here's the only way that we can really worship God, is to take our place as a new creation, raised up from the grave with Jesus. Not in the land, there's no worship there. Well, verse 27, he says, "We'll go 3 days." Worship with the resurrection as the basis. The next compromise is in verse 28. Pharaoh says, "I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away." This tells us, don't be too fanatical or extreme. Now, you can be religious, all right. This is all well and good, but don't become one of those fanatics where your entire life is taken up with this sort of thing. We can't allow that to happen. That can get a hold on you. That's the second compromise, refused. Verse 32, Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. He wouldn't let the people go. Chapter 9, verse 3, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle in the field. So he's going to bring upon the oxen and the sheep very grievous murrain. This is the fifth judgment. And I don't know exactly what that murrain is. We have hail on over here a little bit later. Undoubtedly, this was some kind, maybe a disease or a boil of some kind. But anyway, verse 4, "The Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is children of Israel." God protects again His special people. And He did that. A lot of the cattle died in verse 6. Verse 8, "The Lord said to Moses, take you handfuls of ashes, the furnace. Let Moses sprinkle it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth." This furnace that is spoken of here is actually a furnace for sacrifice. They were idolaters down in that land, and they used that that furnace for an altar. And so this furnace of sacrifice actually brought them misery, because there's no power of deliverance or salvation in it at all. And so the same thing is true with people's gods and sacrifices today. They can only bring them misery. So this is the sixth judgment, is the boils that are upon them. Verse 11, "The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils." The boils upon the magicians and the Egyptians. Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened again. Verse 20, "He that feared," the next one is the hail. "But he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and cattle flee in the houses. He that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." Now from this particular scripture, we infer that those Egyptians who had enough faith to put blood on the doorposts were spared also. Now the reason we say this is because there was a mixed multitude came up out of Egypt. That is, there were some of the Egyptians that left Egypt with Israel. They caused some trouble later on, but nevertheless they did come up out of Egypt with the nation of Israel. And so it tells us that indeed there could have been those who had the faith to get their cattle in. Surely they would have also had the same faith to put blood upon the doorpost. Verse 23, Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground, and so on. That was the seventh judgment, and it was a very grievous hail. Verse 27, Pharaoh comes to himself here. He sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Now, what he thought he had been doing before, I don't know. But I've sinned this time. And he wanted to, he says, the Lord is righteous, I and my people are wicked. Well, of course, we know in the end time, God will prove his righteousness and men will be forced to acknowledge the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ. But this man, he didn't let him go. Verse 1 of chapter 10, the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants that I might show these my signs before him. So you see, God is glorified even by the rebellion of humanity, because it by this he can show his great power and his great wonders before them, and justifiably so. Not that he has to have a reason or account to anyone, but nevertheless he uses their rebellion to show his wonder. Verse 7, Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the people go. So they were smarter than Pharaoh was. Well, heavens, Pharaoh, let them out of here. They only cause us misery. Well, the third compromise is in verse 9. He wanted to know who shall go, and Moses says, we will go with our young and our old, our sons and daughters and everybody else. Verse 10, he said to them, let the Lord be with you as I will let you go, your little ones. Look you to it, evil is before you. Not so. Go now, you that are men, and serve the Lord. Now, here again, the world would try to get, Satan would try to get us to leave something under the dominion of Satan. Everything must be consecrated and given over into the hand of the Lord. Every part of our being and every part of our substance given unto God. And so this is what we are indeed after today. The true teaching of this is like the Macedonian saints. They first gave of themselves, and then, of course, everything that they had became the Lord. Became the Lord, rather. Some people think, well, I'll just give my money. Others think, well, I'll give a little time. Others think, I'll give this, I'll give that. But everything that we possess, whether it be children, flocks, herds, whatever, commit that into the hand of the Lord and let it be His. Let Him take care of it and leave nothing behind under the power of the devil. All right, wrong number. Verse 13, Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that night. And when the morning, when it was morning, it brought the locusts. This is the eighth judgment, is the locust coming over all the land of Egypt, and they were rather grievous. Verse 16, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord and your God, against you. And so, again, notice how that the tribulation will force men to bow and to acknowledge God. And they will do that. Every knee shall bow and recognize that God is God, and that Christ, of course, is the Lord of Lords. Verse 18, he went out to Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned, and he sent a strong west wind, and he blew the locusts into the Red Sea. Verse 22, Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, this is the ninth judgment, and it is darkness which always precedes death. And death, of course, being the last one. But notice in verse 23 that all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So what a time of darkness is going to prevail during the tribulation. We think it's getting dark now as far as the wickedness and things that is going on in this world. But really, it's not anything that can be... that can be compared, as we will notice in just a little bit. The fourth compromise is in verse 24. Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Moses said, no, but we're going to take our cattle and everything else too. Now, Moses knew that if they had not taken their cattle and their herds and everything, their desire would have been to return for them. That is, return for their riches. And so they couldn't leave them. So it behooves us to commit everything unto the Lord, so that there won't be any desire to return unto the Lord. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Well, let's make sure that our treasure is in heaven and nothing left in the clutches of the devil at all. All right. So, this was the fourth compromise refused. And then Pharaoh had some kind words to say to Moses. Get you out of here. Take heed to yourself. See my face no more, because the day you do, that's the day you'll die. Moses said, all right, you said a good word. I won't see your face anymore. And he didn't. All right, chapter 11. The Lord said, all right, I'm going to bring one more plague upon the children of Israel, or Egypt, rather. And I missed one verse, I think, that I wanted to read. Yes, in verse 21, let's back up here. This is where I was making the contrast of the darkness that we see now and the darkness which I'm sure will prevail during the tribulation. Verse 21, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven. There may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And this will surely be the feeling in the time of the tribulation. It will be such terrible darkness. Men will feel the power and the pressure of the wickedness which is going to prevail. It will surely be a dark time. But again, Israel, as we've seen, will be preserved, at least in some measure. All right. Now then, in chapter 11, all these people were to borrow. Verse 2, speaking of the people, let every man borrow of his neighbor, or literally, that is, ask of his neighbor, all these different jewels. And I'm sure after the things that they had suffered, the Egyptians gladly gave it to them to get rid of them. But in verse 5, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. The firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on the throne, and the firstborn of the maiden that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. All right, this is the tenth judgment. And verse 7, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And so notice again that it is God who makes the divisions. It is not a matter of us dividing ourselves or making the division for ourselves. But God makes that division, and it will surely be shown out in the end time when God indeed makes a division between Israel and the nations. The nations will acknowledge, of course, that the children of Israel are the people of God, and will certainly respect them. And as we find, they will lay hold on the skirt of anyone that is a Jew. Verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken to you, that my wonders may be multiplied. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders. The Lord hardened his heart, would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. In chapter 12, Moses spoke to, or the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Verse 2 says, this shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.